And have heaven break out here in the middle of... Please be seated. I did, yeah. I have been blessed, and I have been favored by the joy God gives me in reading his word in the morning and to know the living word, Jesus, who lives in my heart by faith. To me, that is a huge blessing, to wake up, not to hear, I mean, the radio kind of wakes me up in the morning, sometimes my wife's radio on her side of the bed. But the word, I want to hear good news when I wake up in the morning. I want to be empowered by good news, and I want to read the word, and I'm empowered by that word. So I'm blessed by God's word and by the living word, Jesus, who is with me all day, even if I forget to read the Bible, but usually I do, and that's a blessing. I hope you had a chance to share among yourselves about some of the blessings that where you have been favored, where God has blessed and favored you. The Old Testament tells a story of some of that favor because Nathan, the prophet, speaks to King David, and he says, well, you can do whatever you like because God's favoring you, David. But then God speaks to Nathan in a dream and says, no, David's not going to do the plan he thought he was going to do, which was to build a great big tabernacle for God, for the presence of, instead of living in a tent, it would be in a house of cedar, and it's going to be the son of David, Solomon, who is going to build a house. But there's this sense of favor for David, but still God's timing is important. That's kind of what we were hearing over in our corner about God's timing and letting God be in charge, letting God be in charge, and the blessing of not having to worry about everything right now. God, you just let it unfold. So that's one of the favors we see in Nathan in the Old Testament, the 2 Samuel passage. And then, of course, in the Luke passage in chapter 1, we hear the angel Gabriel speak to Mary. And what does he say? You are favored. You found favor with God. Again, that same sense of favor for King David, and here it is for Mary. And she's not going to have to wait to build a house. She's going to have a son, and the son is going to be the son of the Most High. He'll reign on the throne of David. So we have that hearkening back to David again, this great king who was favored. And we see this as going to be a great blessing because he's going to be the savior of the world. One of the other passages in Matthew says he will be Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel means, did you know that? Emmanuel means God with us. When we sing, O come, Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus is fascinating to me. He's fascinating to me because he's kind of the perfect theology. If you want to know about God the Father, look at Jesus. If you had some thoughts about God the Father, some things maybe in the Old Testament that's troubling you, but you look at what Jesus is like. What was Jesus like? He was kind. He was good. He healed people. He had authority. He was without sin. If we look at Jesus, we see something. God is revealed in Jesus in a wonderful way. And in this last Sunday of Advent, nothing more beautiful than to see Mary as that was been revealed to her as being this great revelation that God is going to come through her. And that's fascinating to me as well. So tragically, there have been, unfortunately, in many, perhaps in your lives or in people that you know, brokenness between a father and a son or between a father and a daughter. And so our picture of God the Father can be colored by our circumstances. That's why it's so important for us to get to know Jesus, because Jesus shows us, he reveals God the Father. God the Father, not our human father, because we know that there might be some problems there, or maybe not, but maybe there are. So we get to know who Jesus is. Now, one of the things about Mary that I want to say is, as God is revealed in Jesus in Mary's life, is that when the angel came to her, though she was engaged to Joseph, the angel disrupted her life. And if an angel came to you, your life would probably be disrupted too. So let me say that if you choose to get to know Jesus, if you really want to get to know God the Father through Jesus, he's going to disrupt some things. And maybe that's not a bad thing, because we get kind of complacent or we get stuck and we don't know how to get out of it. Maybe the disruption is actually leading us toward better things. Do you understand? So if the angel were to say to you, "Hey, Mary, so nice to meet you," why would the angel wouldn't come to tell her something obvious? You know, the angel came to tell her something that would require faith to make it happen, because he operates in the spiritual faith realm. So that's a pretty cool thing for her, that you're going to, there's a prophetic thing about her future. So if you get to know who Jesus is, you might actually get to know, to have some confidence in him so that you can know something about your future. You ever thought about that? That your faith gets energized by following Jesus, and then he sees what's ahead for you, especially if you're a young fella and you don't know what's going to be happening in the future. If you look to Jesus, you still may not know exactly what it's going to be, but you can have some confidence that he's going to lead you into that future. So that's a life lesson for us as we think about getting to know Jesus as Mary did. So God is good, Mary knows it, and the message is disruptive but good, risky but good. So that's what God is like. Finally, Mary says to the angel, do you know what she says to the angel? Can you just remind me how Mary responds to the angel? What does she say? Forget it. What does she say? Okay. Gloria says, yeah. So she says, okay. She says, let it be to me, or be it with me. Or, let it be to me as you say. So she's willing to take that risk. She says it in her words, that she will take that risk. Her words and her actions go together. Do you know what that means when she said, let it be to me? It meant that when she went to the hairdresser, they would be gossiping about her. They would be gossiping about her. Because she was betrothed and expecting, but not married. Shame on their family, shame on the house, shame on Joseph's house. And while she's planning her wedding, what's Joseph possibly, to whom she's engaged, going to do? He's planning the divorce. Uh-oh. So, this God revealed in Jesus who disrupts Mary's life and Joseph's life, and it's all about love. The Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. Do you know what that means? He was a righteous man. Gentlemen, do you know what that means, to be a righteous man? Doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It doesn't mean you're self-righteous. It means that you are doing right things. You're trying to do the right thing. Fair, thank you, Honorio. Trying to do the fair thing. So the fair thing for Joseph would have been to have, the Bible tells us this, he says, to quietly divorce her, to quietly put her away, so that she would suffer as minimum embarrassment as possible. That was, from a human point of view, the right thing to do. What happened to Joseph in the Matthew story? Do you know this, what happened? The angel comes to him too. Oh, good heavens, not another angel. It's the same one. Don't be afraid, Joseph. The child conceived in Mary, your betrothed, is from God. It's from God. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because the child conceived in her is what? Holy. Holy. It took faith, because it's impossible, right? It seems totally impossible that a virgin could give birth. And so he had to suffer all the slings and arrows of embarrassment of being a dad who wasn't the father of that child. But God was. But you know what? The Bible says Joseph was righteous, and it wasn't wrong. It's not lying. The Bible's not lying. Joseph was righteous, but not from a human point of view. He didn't divorce her, which was the expected thing. He stood by his betrothed. He stood by her. And that's pretty awesome, that he did the right thing by God's standards. He did the right thing. Men, are you doing the right thing by God's standards? God reveals himself in Jesus as good and kind and right and disruptive and risky. We knew a lone parent family up in Halliburton in one of my parishes, she wasn't on her own. She had two kids, but the husband was away in the States working, and he was away for months on end, so she might as well have been a lone parent, right? And he had barely had enough money to scrape together to support her. They were still technically married, but he was long away. Anyway, she was 2 months behind on rent. She was about to get kicked out of her apartment across the street from our house in Halliburton Village, a little place up north of Peterborough. And here's your word for the morning, an obstreperous landlord was going to throw them out in December. I don't know if you could do that, but maybe in those days you could. But in any case, so the lady needed $1,000, and we were praying about it. We had no idea where $1,000 was going to come from. Christmas comes and goes, Christmas day, night, garage doors open. A man comes through the garage into the back door of our house, knocks on the door. I open the door. The man says, "I think I'm supposed to give you this." He hands me an envelope, thick with cash. Guess how much money was in it? $1,000. So I walked it across the street and gave it to the lady who needed it, money. God does awesome things sometimes. I got to be the conduit of it because I got all the hugs of shock and delight as I delivered the money. It wasn't from me, it was from God. What is it that you need in your life? What word does God need to speak to you in your life? I don't know. I don't know you yet. I know some of your names. Please be patient with me as I'm trying to learn your names. So I don't know what the word is that God needs to speak to you. But let me suggest that one of the words that God wants to speak to you, however long you've been on this journey, however bored you might be listening to the message, wherever you are on your journey, that my suggestion that the word that God wants to speak to you is that you are favored. You're favored. Remember, we started this little thing off called How I Have Been Blessed? Well, let me suggest that it isn't just about what car you drive or the car you wish you drive because you've had to give up your license or you're about to have to give up your license or have to move or because you wish you could drive yet but you can't because you're too young or whatever challenges you may be facing right now. It has nothing to do with your status in life, I guess is what I'm saying, from an earthly point of view, that God favors you as a person. As a woman, as a man, as a young person, that God favors you. So when we come to receive, and if we are able to receive that word as for us, that I am favored, that this simple bread and wine that we take ordinary things and we give it to God and it becomes extraordinary, this is what the sacrament is, right? Ordinary things becoming extraordinary, that we receive that as a sign of God's wanting to affirm that favor in us. You see, when you came to church today, you thought all your presents were under the tree. Sometimes the present you get is when you come to church. Your favorite. Religion is about us searching for God. Oh God, find me. And the gospel, the good news you just heard Deacon Warren read, the good news is that God is searching for you. You don't have to search. He's already searching for you. He wants you. He wants to find you. He wants you to be found in him, in Jesus. So as a community, I'm just getting to know you. We need to know what it means to be the kind of community where we have that expectation that God will make things happen. And I don't know if there's been a healing offered. There's a parish nurse here. I don't know how it is that God's going to touch your life and bring you that sense of his presence or healing or whatever it might be. But I trust that that word will find a home in your heart, that you, like Mary, will know that you are a favored one. Are you able to say amen to that? Thanks be to God.